Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Amen. Well, if you're a believer, would you stand this morning and just give God an expression of praise? Great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and tell them it's good to see them. To all of our guests, you are welcome here. You are wanted here. And thank you for remembering what time church started. It's amazing that we need to get the memo when we spring forward, but everybody gets the memo when we fall back. But you got the memo this morning, and I really do appreciate you being here. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Hebrews? We're going to look at chapter 11, and we're going to go to verse 8. Again, to our guests, all of you, the household of faith, thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. To all of you who may be watching online, welcome. We're glad that you're watching. We pray that for each and every one of you, you will gain value from the word of the Lord. Let's look at Hebrews 11, and we're going to go to verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Then look at verse 17, if you would. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, if you will, drop down to verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. God bless you. You can be seated. I have on my phone an app. It's called Waze. It's W-A-Z-E. And it's an app for traffic. And I really do like this particular app because it alerts me when there's officers in the vicinity. And it also alerts me when there are stalled or parked vehicles on the side of the road. And it alerts one when it's heavy traffic, and if it's really heavy and if there's an alternate route, it will give you the alternate route. It's a really cool app. If you haven't tried it, maybe you ought to try it. It's called Waze, W-A-Z-E. And occasionally that voice will come on and it will remind me of my path, and it helps me to stay on course. Can I tell you this morning, Abraham did not have the Waze app. The Bible said he went out not knowing where he was going. God got Abraham and he said, look here, buddy, I want you to go on an adventure. And his course was charted by pure faith. God asked something of Abraham on this adventure of faith. You can look at it in Genesis 22. And he basically said, hey, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to lay him up on the altar of sacrifice. If you'll notice, God wasn't asking just for a little finger. He wasn't asking for an earlobe. He wasn't asking for half of a leg. He was asking for a 100-year promise, and he wanted him to lay it on the altar. Now, brothers and sisters, that may be easy for us to preach about, but if that was your child and you had waited 100 years, I'm going to tell you, you're going to fight some mind battles to get to that place to lay that child down. Yes, you are. That's going to be a true struggle and a true test of faith after something you've waited for 100 years. And God said, look, by the way, I'd like for you to lay that down. Are you with me? Here is what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the adventure of surrender. The adventure of surrender. And here's how it works. God calls you and I to not go by an app. He calls us to go by faith. And he called Abraham, not even knowing where he was going. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like to get in a vehicle and not know where I'm going. I like knowing where I'm going. I like to see the traffic patterns because I like to keep the Holy Ghost. And when I get in traffic, I tend to lose that. Y'all pray for me. Can I preach this morning? So Abraham does it. He says, okay, I'm willing to do this. And he lays his natural born son down on the altar. And if you look in Genesis 22 and 10, it says this, and Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Now, I want you to just notice something. Isaac is laid down a natural son, just a natural boy, but he's raised up because when God saw that Abraham was going to do this, then the Bible tells us that the angel spoke or God spoke and said, okay, Abraham, now that I know what you're going to do, don't do it, right? So he lays him down as a natural son. But if you look in Genesis 22, when he's raised up, this is where God starts talking. He said, Abraham, because you're willing to do this, he said, I'm going to bless your descendants like the stars of the sky, like the sand in the seashore. He said, in fact, I'm going to give you such a supernatural blessing that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed because of your one act of obedience today. Isn't that amazing? Now, our text tells us in Hebrews 11 and verse 8 that, I believe it is, or Hebrews 24, that Moses chose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I don't have long to get into this. If you don't have a lot of Bible knowledge, then just hang on with me this morning. But when God called Moses, he called him to go on this adventure. And this adventure was 40 years of learning to be somebody in Pharaoh's palace. And then it was another 40 years basically learning to be nobody. And then it was another 40 years that God was going to call him on the greatest adventure of his life. Now, on the backside of the desert, he has a staff, and it's a shepherd's staff. And this staff is basically representing three things. It represents Moses' identity, it represents his income, and it represents his influence because he's a shepherd. This staff represents, I'm a shepherd. It's his identity. It's his income because back in that day, they didn't have stock markets and money and cash. Flocks and cattle and herds was how wealthy you were. The more you had, the more wealthy you were. So that was his income. And then it was his identity. He was identified as a shepherd. But now notice what God asked. He said, Moses, I want you to lay your identity down, your income and your influence. I want you to lay it down. And when he laid it down, brothers and sisters, he laid it down as a dead stick. But he said, look, if you'll lay it down, I'm going to show you something. And that stick turned into a serpent and it became a living thing. But here's what I want you to notice. It did not turn into a living thing and it did not turn into anything supernatural till he was willing to lay it down. Here's the third analogy here. Jesus as a man was limited. He can only be at one place at one time. As the man, he was limited. God said, I want to lay down my only begotten son, and I want you to lay down on a cross. He laid down as a man on the cross, but when he rose up again on the third day, he rose up a supernatural glorified body. And just as Christ could only be at one place at one time, his spirit could only be at one place at one time. But when he poured out because he was willing to be laid down, then he, on the day of Pentecost, poured out his spirit. And the Bible says that 3,000 were added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Now, here's what I want you to get out of that brief introduction. Number one is this. God asked Moses to lay your staff down in the dirt. Two, he asked Abraham to lay his son down on the altar. Three, God asked his only begotten son to be laid down on the cross. They all laid down in the natural. They all were raised up in the supernatural. Did that just make sense? And every one of those men, basically God was asking them to go on an adventure of surrender. Did that just make sense? Surrender, brothers and sisters. He had to release the rod. Abraham had to release his son. And God even had to release his only begotten son on the cross. All three of those, if you look at the common denominator of all three of them, it was surrender was the common denominator. And when God calls you and I, what he really calls is he calls for us to go on an adventure of surrender. And when you say yes to God, your days are going to become an adventure like you have never known. We've all read the stories of great warriors and great heroes who have gone in and fought the dragons and rescued the damsels in distress. And we read those because when we read those adventures, something resonates on the inside of us. I have young men come into my office all the time, and they ask me about how do I know the purpose of God? And we begin to talk, and many times they will go and they will begin to talk about the military. They feel a certain call to the military, and part of that is because it's innate within man to want to go on an adventure. I don't think I'm connecting with you this morning. It's innate. How many of you have ever gone on an adventure? You like going. You like. It's innate in all of us. That's why we resonate with stories like, have you ever, one of my favorite movies is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. C.S. Lewis's book turned into a movie. Have any of you ever seen that movie? You bunch of sinners, but anyway. It's a great movie, but it's about this incredible adventure because there's something in us that we want to go on an adventure. It's the way we're made. Men and women will risk their lives to climb mountains, cross oceans, and go and explore space. They're willing to invest an entire life to go on an adventure. And the fact is, God has an adventure for all of us. It's natural for us to want to yearn for adventure. When you say yes to God, God is going to take you places both externally in the world and internally on a journey with Him unlike any other that you have ever participated in before. And you may say, Brother Nealon, but I'm inadequate to go on this journey. No, you're not. Why not? Because God takes ordinary people, just like He took an ordinary lad's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There was nothing extraordinary about it. It was just today's bread and today's catch. But when you put today's bread and today's catch in the Master's hands, He makes a miracle out of it. I want to talk to somebody this morning. Quit thinking you got to have a PhD to be something that God can use. Quit thinking you got to live here or drive this or wear that for God to use you. One of my favorite songs is sung by Danny Bell, and it's an old song, and it's sung like this. God just chooses ordinary people. He uses people just like me and you to do His will. Brothers and sisters, when you surrender your life to Christ, and when you place your life, your ordinary life in His hands, just like that lunch, He breaks it, He multiplies it, He blesses it, and then He gives it. And you will go places you never thought you could go, and God will show you things you never thought you would see if you're willing just to take your ordinary life and lay it down and say, God, I'm putting my life in Your hands. Come on, somebody, do with me what you want to do with me, but I'm willing to go on this adventure. I'm here to tell someone you can be a different person, not because who you are isn't good enough, but because when you give in to who God wants you to be, then guess what? God changes you. So now, why would anyone say no to God's adventure? There's two reasons. Give me a little time this morning. There's two reasons. Number one is our fears. Fears, ladies and gentlemen, fears keep all of us from surrender. Do I have your attention? I said fears keep us all from surrender. Fear is our oldest problem. It's as old as Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve blew it, it put up a barrier between them and God. And Adam said, I was afraid. And after fear came, what did he do? I went and hid myself. And ever since then, human beings have been hiding themselves from God. Now, psychiatrists tell us this, that there are literally thousands of fears and phobias that people can have. But your deepest fear, the one that is at the base of your life, is this. Are you ready? You're afraid to trust God. You say, why? Well, that's your deepest fear. And you're afraid to totally trust God, to say yes to the Lord, whatever, whenever, however, anytime, any place, anywhere. You're afraid to say that. You're afraid to give in. You're afraid to surrender. You're afraid that if you give 100% of your life and say yes to God, then God's going to take you on this faith journey and you're not sure where it's going to lead you. And we don't like to walk by faith because it requires a risk. And why is one of the reasons people are afraid of God? Here it is. It's called ignorance. Does it mean you're stupid? Stupid and ignorant are two different things. Ignorance. They don't know what God is really like. The reason why some of you have a hard time with God is because you really don't know what God is like. When you don't know what God is like, you're afraid of Him. If you knew the way that God really is, you wouldn't be afraid of Him. But because you're ignorant of what God is really like, you're afraid of Him. You're afraid to let go. You're afraid to go on this adventure with someone you don't know. I can tell you this. I'm not probably going on too many adventures with somebody I don't know, or at least somebody knows them that I know. You know why? Because I don't know if I can trust you. And here we are. If you don't really know God, then you kind of back off. When you don't know what God is like, you just tend to listen to all these false ideas about what God is and assume them. And sometimes we actually take what we think about our parents and project it onto God. And when we start praying, our Father which art in heaven, and then we get to thinking, if God's anything like my dad, then no thanks. Because many times what we do is we thought that God was some kind of unpleasable parent, that no matter how good you were, it was never good enough. And I'm here to submit to all of my sweet brothers and sisters, God is not your mother and God is not your father. He's not like any one of them. God is perfect. And please don't start putting all of these false images on God, because if you do, then you're not going to trust Him. You say, Pastor, how do I know when I don't know what God is really like? It's very simple. You worry. Ooh. I'm going to say that again. Pastor, how do I know when I don't know what God is really like? Here's the number one thing, you worry. What do you mean? Because worry is the symptom when you don't know what God is really like, because then you act like you're an orphan and don't have a heavenly father. Because when you know that you know that you know you can trust Him and your life is in His hands, then guess what? When trust is high, anxiety is low. Because here's what you do. You look back and you say, you know what? I trusted God and He brought me through all of that. And here I still stand. So, no matter what holds tomorrow, I know who holds tomorrow. And if I could trust him with 20 years of my life and I'm still standing, then guess what? I believe I can trust him with the next 20 years of my life and he's going to bring me through. Come on, somebody, give God 5 seconds of your best praise here this morning. Oh, I've got to hurry. So here's the number one thing. It's called ignorance because you don't really know what God is like. Here's the second thing that makes you fear God. Are you ready? It's called idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is anything. Say anything. Anything you make more important than God in your life. We see idolatry as people over in a different continent bowing down to a stone idol or an image. That's not idolatry. It can be, but here's what idolatry. Idolatry is any time you put something first in your life and place it first ahead of God. And guess what that can be? That can be anything. It can be a career. It can be a car. It can be sports. It can be shopping. It can be a drug. Anything, ladies and gentlemen, that is number one in your life. Making money can be an idol. Having fun can be an idol. Entertainment can be an idol. Anything that you place before God in your life becomes an idol. And you say, well, what does that have to do with this? Here's what it has to do with it. You're afraid that God is going to ask you to give it up. If God ever asks you to give up something and you can't give it up, then guess what? It owns you. You don't own it. And that becomes an idol in your life. If God told you to give something away and you said, I just couldn't give that away, then guess what? You don't own it. It owns you. And that becomes an idol in your life. And what idolatry does is idolatry builds barriers between God and us because we're afraid to trust God. God, if I really trusted you, you may ask me to give this up. And I don't want to trust you that much because I don't want to give this up. And then we've got Satan whispering over in our ear all the time. And he's saying, you know what? You know you're going to lose if you give your life completely to God. You're going to lose. You walk out that door to a life of surrender, you're going to be the loser. You're going to lose your freedom. Man, you won't be able to do what you want when you want to do it. Man, if you give your life to God, you're going to lose your fun. You can't have any fun being a Pentecostal. My God, they preach against everything but fresh air. Man, if you really serve God, then you may lose your family. You may lose your fortune. You may lose money. You think that's what God does? Let me tell you something about what you really lose when you say yes to God. Are you ready for this? Here's what you really lose. You lose your guilt. And you lose your fear of death. And you lose your stress and you lose your loneliness and you lose regret and resentment and shame. You lose all the stuff you want to let go of and you come to God and he says, I'll give you what you need, not what you deserve. Because if God gave us what we deserve, none of us would be here this morning. Can I get a witness? He didn't give you what you deserve. He gave Jesus what you deserved. And he gave us what Jesus deserved. You got to think about that just a minute. See, there's a third thing that will cause you not to trust God. Are you ready? Number one is ignorance. Number two is idolatry. Here's number three. It's called insecurity. Ooh, it's going to get quiet in here now. Here it is. It's coming heavy to you. You ready for this? When you're insecure, you have a tendency to control things. Ooh, it's going to get deep, so I'm not going to look at nobody. I'm going to just look at my notes. In fact, the more insecure you are, the greater your need to control things. High control people are actually just revealing deep, high insecurities. Secure people don't need to control anything. That's why Jesus could look at the man and say, hey, come and follow me. And he said, well, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And God said, well, have you obeyed the commandments? He said, yeah. He said, I don't steal, I don't kill, I honor my father and mother, I do all this. And God said, well, awesome, that's awesome, man. He said, why don't you go sell everything you got, come and follow me. And notice the man left. He was very sorrowful because he didn't have possessions. Possessions had him. And he couldn't let him go. But notice what Jesus does. Jesus just, he loves him, thinks he's an awesome guy. But he's secure enough, he keeps walking. He don't have a sidebar and say, hey, bub, I was just joking. If you just give your couch away, we're good. I was really saying that for all the crowd. I wanted them to hear it. Mm-mm. You know why? Because Jesus knows who he is. He don't have to control. See, control, high control means low trust. That's why most pastors try to control their flock, because they don't trust their flock. So they try to control them because they're very insecure. Most pastors are very insecure. I've been that way all my life. But I've asked God to help me. Am I there? Have I arrived? No, I haven't. But I'm wanting to get there because I've learned. I'm learning. I'm not God. It's a great day, ladies and gentlemen, when you learn you're not God. It's a wonderful day. I'm going to tell you what it feels like. It feels like real freedom. It's not that you don't care about people. It's not that you don't love people. It's not that you don't want the best for people. You just realize I can't make you do what's not in your heart to do. I can encourage you. I can build you up. I can text you. I can call you. I can pray for you. But at the end of the day, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. And very insecure people, you know what they really are? Inside, they may be a 45-year-old man, but inside, they're a little boy. She may be a 50-year-old woman, but inside, she's a little girl. You know why? Because if you're feeling secure, you don't have to control everybody's reaction. You don't have to worry about other people. But when you're insecure, you worry. And you have to control how you look and how you appear and how you dress and how you talk, because you're afraid that nobody is going to accept you. Y'all, I wished I had some time. I struggled with this all of my life because I wanted the approval of a certain group of men. I wanted the approval of those men. And it was like every time I tried to get it, the more I tried, the more barriers were put up and I couldn't get it. The more I tried to be accepted, it seemed like the more I was rejected. And I felt like I've lived with rejection most of my life. Until the day came, there was a day that finally came, when I got the revelation that if I please him, it doesn't matter who I displease. And if I'm accepted by him, then it really doesn't matter if I'm accepted by these that I want to be accepted by. And here's the crazy thing about it. When you really get to the place you're willing to lay it down, then it comes to you. It's crazy, y'all. I'm telling you, this kingdom that we serve in is an upside down kingdom. He said, if you want to save your life, you got to lose it. You got to lay it down. And if you don't lay it down, then you're not going to save your own life. And it makes no sense to the natural mind. And so I finally get to the place that I say, God, the only opinion that really matters is your opinion. And guess what? Then I start getting calls. Hey, Bubba, would you come over here and preach for me? I'm like, the very thing I wanted, I didn't get because God was trying to show me, son, I want to take you on an adventure. I want this to be an adventure of surrender. But you got to understand, your worth doesn't come from where you preach or who's in the in crowd. It comes from me. And I want to take you to places, son, that you couldn't dream you would be. But guess what? If you hang out with that crowd, that crowd ain't going where I'm going. Come on, somebody. Man, I wish I could preach this morning. You know what? Some of you, drugs ain't your problem. Alcohol's not your problem. You know what your problem is? People. People. You need to cut some ties from people. You're drawing your self-worth from people and trying to be in this sorority, in this club, to make me feel secure. I'm going to tell you where you're secure. You're secure in the hands of God. When you surrender, here I am, God, everything about me. Here I am. Take me on an adventure. Some of you thought you had to give up control to God, and you don't want anybody to have control but you. Some of you won't let anybody drive but you. Well, we're breaking it down this morning, aren't we? You just thought you wanted me back in this pulpit. You ain't so sure now. You know what? You know what, y'all? Let me tell you something. This ain't my church. This ain't my church. I didn't bleed and die for all you sweet people. This is God's church. All he asked me to do is be an under-shepherd, to love you and care for you and encourage you and preach to you the truth and love. This is God's church. Quit trying to make it your church. Well, I think this and I think that. You know what? We better all think, what does God think? What does God have to say? What is God wanting to say to me? Oh, come on, somebody. It's about you losing control and saying, God, I can trust you. I'm going to surrender my life to you, God. Come on. Why? Some of you are afraid that if I really surrender my life to God, then God's going to ask me to take a faith, and I don't know exactly where he's going to ask me to go. And I don't like not knowing. I like being in control. Come on, somebody. So what is the antidote to your fears? It's simple. You ready? It's get to know God. You get to know God. Here's what Psalm 145 and 8 says. The Lord is good to all. Not some. He's good to all. And his tender mercies are over all of his works. Do you know that everything that God does in your life, he does it out of love? Everything. Even discipline. Even when God disciplines you, he does it out of love. He's always acting in your best interest. See, you think, well, I know what's going to make me happy. No, you don't. I'm not being rude to you. No, you don't. God knows more about you than even you do. He knows what's going to make you happy. If you surrender your life to him on this great adventure, God knows how to lead you to the right people at the right place at the right time. And you know what? Your anxiety, y'all, I can't tell you. I'm doing so much better because I was a worry wart. My mama was a worry wart. I've been a worrier. I'm doing so much better. How are you doing better, Pastor? By simply just trusting God. Because, Nettie, I just know that God's going to get me at the right place at the right time. And y'all may think I'm crazy, and you wouldn't be the first ones if you thought it. But here's what I'm telling you. Got to even open up parking spaces for you. Now, I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, that's the kind of favor God has. He loves taking care of the small things. I'm not going to finish this message, I can tell you right now. But I was in a hospital, and I was running late, and the elevator wasn't working right. And my natural tendency was to... And I just had to remember, Wayne, you just remember what you prayed, son. Remember what you prayed. God put me at the right place at the right time. Y'all, this is not a joke. This lady may be here this morning. So I come down in Memorial Hospital. And when I come off that elevator, it dings real loud. It goes ding. And right in front of me is a lady from this church. And the ding caught her attention. And she looked straight into that elevator right in my eyes. And when she saw me, she broke down and busted crying. And she said, I told God I need help right now. That doesn't make me any more spiritual than you. What I'm saying is that now, even through the little test of things that don't totally go your way, you can still just kind of breathe easy, take a deep breath, stay calm. God's in control. And that lady fell into my arms and she just began to weep and she wept. And I held that lady for probably 3 minutes as she just sobbed. And she says, I know God loves me. I know God cares because he put you right here. I had the Holy Spirit, and I think I've told you this before, but I had the Holy Spirit say, call this person right now. Right now. It was forceful. I was like, okay. I picked up my phone and I called. In fact, I looked at what time it was. It was 4:59. It was 4:59. There's the persons in here that can verify this story. He's here. And I said, hey, bud, what's up? And he starts laughing. He said, I can't believe this. I cannot believe this. I said, what? What's up? He said, I told the Lord, Lord, if this certain is you, then have Pastor call me by 5 o'clock. Again, I'm not a super spiritual person. I'm really not. That's the God's honest truth. But guess what? I just start walking in surrender. Man, I wish I had time to finish this message. Oh, my God. Y'all got a few more minutes? I want you to notice this verse. This is in Jeremiah 29 and 11. God says, For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. God says, you know what? To everybody in this room, I want you to trust me. I want you to get rid of your ignorance of me. Learn of me. Get rid of your idolatry. Don't put anything in front of me. Get rid of your insecurities. Know that you can trust me with your life. I'm going to lead you on an adventure that's going to blow your mind. Now, can I tell you, God, listen to me, please. God does not explain himself. He did never explain himself to Abraham. He reveals himself. He said, as you go, I will show you. Now, I just want you to walk. Where, Lord? Where's the mountain? He didn't even tell him what mountain. He just said, go. And I'll show you the mountain. We're putting our GPS. What's the coordinates, God? I need a coordinates. I need to know where I'm going. God said, No, there is no Waze app with me. I'm gonna lead you, and I'm gonna guide you, and I'm gonna direct you. And what's so ironic about this is when you put your life in his hands and you go on this adventure of surrender. Here's what's the ironic thing. Here it is. Though it's a walk of faith, there's peace. Y'all, I'm sorry I'm talking about myself this morning. Please forgive me. But Janet and I were in our bedroom. And I told Janet, I said, I'm going to tell you something. This has been a long, hard journey. It's been a lot of miles, a lot of tears, a lot of trials, a lot of counseling. But I have a peace. Y'all, I can't even describe it. I have a peace about me now that I wouldn't take anything for. And brothers and sisters, if I could just help you this morning, if you would only say yes. Yes, Lord, here I am. Here's all of me. Take all of me. God's going to put you on an adventure, and yes, it's going to be a walk by faith, and sometimes it seems a little scary, but at the same time, you'll have a peace on the inside of you that will surpass your human knowledge. Oh, it is so beautiful. My Lord. Well, I got to stop. But here's what I'll stop with. I don't want to stop, but there's this famous social psychologist. His name is Roy Bowmaster. That's probably messing it up, but he's supposed to be a guru in social psychology. And he's done a ton of research on will and willpower. And he says that will and willpower is very easily depleted. That's why when you go on your first date, after your first date, you kind of feel exhausted because you had to get up, build up a lot of will to even do it. right? Or you go on your first job interview, and it's a big job interview, and when you get done, you almost feel exhausted because you didn't want to do it in the first place, right? So he's done a ton of this research on the wheel and how easily it is depleted. But here is what he found out. One thing, y'all, that never, ever taxes the wheel or the willpower of man, no matter how many times you do it, he said it doesn't tax it. You know what it is? It's surrender. He says no matter how many times you surrender, your will always gives in to that, and it never taxes it. So the guy that was talking about it says, what I've started doing is every day, he said, what I do now every day is I just go palms up and I say, Lord, here I am, and I surrender. Whatever you want from me today, put me where you want me. And whatever you want to speak, put the words in my mouth. But I'm going to walk in total surrender. Brothers and sisters, if I could somehow convince 100% of you today to just put your palms up and say, God, I want to go on this adventure of surrender, I can promise you it will change your life. You say, how can I trust him? Well, when you get to know him, you're going to know that you can trust him. And if he asks for something, it's only because he wants to give you something better in return. It's called a God gravity. What do you mean, Pastor, God gravity? I've never heard that term before. Well, when you live in the adventure of surrender, it's called a God gravity. And God's gravity basically just means, I believe that everything that God wants for me is coming to me. And those things that no longer serve my life, that God no longer wants there, is exiting from my life. Pastor told me, he said, there was a couple that came into my office and said, Pastor, we really feel like it's time to move on. And he said, my first instinct was to grasp and say, no, please don't, and to control the situation. And he said, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, let him go. 6 months later, he's got the FBI knocking on his door, saying, hello, Pastor, do you know such and such a person? They said, yes. Well, we hear they go to your church. They said, no, they left about 6 months ago. And this particular couple was in major, major trouble with the FBI. And that pastor, if he would have hung on, he would have hung on to a problem that God was trying to release him from. And what we do is we try to hang on to people. We try to hang on to things. And we try to hang on to this. We try to hang on to that. Because we don't trust a God that knows what's best for us. If I could somehow convince you to go on this adventure of surrender, I can promise you your life will never, ever be the same. Would you be willing to stand with me this morning? You know, we don't like to talk about surrender because we feel like it's somebody beating us into submission. We don't like surrender because we see it as the white flag. I got to wave the white flag and I got to surrender. Or we see it as a man, a fugitive, running from the officers, and the three or four of them are running after him, and he gets into this alley and he can't get out, and he's surrounded, and then he just has to turn around and say, okay, I surrender. Wasn't his choice, but he had to do it. And that's the way that we, for the most part, see surrender. Can I tell you, God's never going to make you do what you choose not to do. But what he wants to do is he wants you to lay down your identity, your influence, and your income. He wants you to lay it down so that when you pick it back up, it becomes supernatural. He wants you to lay Isaac down so that when you pick him back up, you pick up a supernatural blessing that literally all the nations of the world are going to be blessed because of this one act of surrender. When Jesus goes to the cross, it looks awful. And the devil thinks, yay, because the devil's so much into crucifixions, but God is into resurrections. And when you lay down a natural man, but when you're risen up, you're risen up supernatural because you was willing to surrender. Your life becomes supernatural when you totally surrender to Him. Say, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? You know what? I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. How come? Because I've chosen to surrender to Him. I know that this palms up doesn't have a good connotation in our denomination because we see it as something that is not healthy. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible does say that there is a time to receive. And there's a time to give. And this morning, what I would like for you to do, if you're willing to do this, I would like for you to go palms up all over this house. I'd like for you to go palms up. And I would just like for you to start talking to the Lord about surrender right now. Would you? As you're praying, I'm going to pray. Father, I come to you this morning in the incredible name of Jesus. There's people this morning that are struggling with control issues. They're struggling with idolatry issues. They're struggling with insecurity issues when it comes to you. And they think they know what's best for their life. But what's really best is your plans and your thoughts and your adventure. So, Lord, I'm just asking, help every one of us here this morning to walk in surrender. If this message resonated something within you, no matter who you may be, front to back, right to left, balcony, first floor, doesn't matter. I just want you to step out from where you are. And as they sing, I just want you to come up around this front. I just want you to keep your palms up, and I just want you to talk to God about surrender this morning. God, I'm going to surrender my will. I'm going to surrender my identity, my income, my influence. It's all about the purposes of God. It's all about the purposes of God. Purposes of God.
Everything I give to you.
Pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.